The 12th station. Jesus dies on the cross.
The light is becoming strange and greenish, and Jesus, feverish and weaker, whispers, "Mother, Mother." Mary makes an unrestrainable gesture of stretching her arms as if she wished to succour him, and the cruel people laugh. It is in this frightening twilight that Jesus gives John to Mary and Mary to John. He lowers his head because the mother has gone closer to the cross to see him better, and he says, "Woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother." Tears stream down Mary's cheek, notwithstanding all the efforts to restrain them. Even if on her lips there is a heartbroken smile to comfort him. As the light continues to fade, Jesus' sufferings increase. His body stiffens, his breathing becomes more difficult, and his back bends more and more forward with the weight of his body. At a certain moment, Jesus collapses forward and downwards. Mary utters a cry. "He is dead!" A tragic cry that spreads in the dark air. And Jesus seems really dead. A volley of stones and clods of earth fly towards the cross, hitting the martyr and falling back on the armour of the Romans. Jesus moans pitifully and recovers his senses. His head moves from left to right, and finding strength only in his will, Jesus stiffens on the cross. He stands upright as if he were a healthy man with all his strength. He raises his face, looking with wide open eyes at the world stretched at his feet. He shouts in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," confessing his father's abandonment. People laugh and deride him. They insult him, saying, "God has nothing to do with you. Demons are cursed by God." Other people shout, "Let us see whether Elijah, whom he is calling, will come and save him." The avalanches of desolate grief which had already oppressed him at Gethsemane come back again. And above all is the sensation, more crucifying than the cross itself, more despairing than any torture, that God has abandoned him and that his prayer does not rise to his Father. And this final torture crushes the remaining fibres of the heart, because it will end what the first knowledge of this abandonment has begun, in death. Darkness becomes deeper. Jerusalem disappears completely. The very slopes of Calvary seem to vanish. And from that light, which is no longer light, comes the plaintive voice of Jesus, "I am thirsty." A soldier goes towards a jar in which the assistants of the executioners have put some vinegar with gall, so that with its bitterness it may increase the salivation of those condemned to capital punishment. He takes the sponge immersed in the liquid, he sticks it on a thin, stiff cane, and he offers it to the dying victim. Jesus, after greedily sucking the bitter drink, makes a wry face in disgust, withdraws, losing heart, and completely abandons the weight of his body, which leans forward on the cross. To his faint, childlike cry for his mother, Mary replies, "No, no, son, I will not abandon you. Listen to me, my dear. Your mother is here. She is here. And she only regrets that she cannot come where you are." It is heartrending. And John weeps openly. Jesus must hear him weep, but he does not say anything. Longinus's face is affected in the effort of overcoming his emotion, and his eyes begin to shine with tears that only his iron discipline can restrain. There is dead silence. Then in utter darkness, the words, "Everything is accomplished," are clearly heard. And his death rattle grows louder and louder, with longer and longer pauses between one rattle and the next. There is silence again. Then the supplication, pronounced with infinite kindness, with fervent prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Further silence. Also the death rattle becomes fainter. It is just a breath confined to his lips and throat. Then there is the last spasm of Jesus, a dreadful convulsion that seems to tear the body with the three nails from the cross. It rises three times from the feet to the head through all the poor tortured nerves. It makes the head fall back violently once, twice, three times, hitting hard on the wood. And then a powerful cry, unimaginable in that exhausted body, burst forth, rending the air. The loud cry mentioned by the Gospels and is the first part of the word "mother," and nothing else. His head falls on his chest. His body leans forward. The trembling stops. He breathes no more. He has breathed his last. There is a frightening rumble. Lightning and thunderbolts descend upon the crowd, and the earth is shaken by a cyclonic whirlwind. The three crosses are violently shaken. The soldiers try not to fall, and John holds onto Mary while clinging to the cross. The robbers howl with terror, and people fall onto one another and into cracks in the ground. The earthquake and tornado recur three times. Then quiet and darkness descend, interspersed with silent magnetic lightning and with the fire of a burning house inside the walls of Jerusalem. In the dim light, Mary calls for Jesus. Then, as the lightning flashes, she sees him hanging forward. She stretches out her hands in the dark air and shouts, "My son! My son! My son!" John embraces Mary and tries to take her away, saying, "He no longer suffers." But before the apostle finishes his sentence, Mary, who has understood, frees herself. She turns around. She bends towards the ground. She covers her eyes with her hands and shouts, "I no longer have my son!"